I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address.
We're not just building muscle, we're building men. In the quiet hours, in the unfiltered moments, in the conversations that happen before the world wakes up. This is The Gloom, where brotherhood forms in the dark so we can lead in the light, where vulnerability is strength and leadership is handed from man to man, one story at a time. Our mission is to empower, exhort, and inspire men to achieve their best selves through stories of reinvigorated male community leadership. We bring you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha PACs, ordinary men doing extraordinary things in fitness, fellowship, faith, and leadership, because we believe that every man has a story, and reinvigoration starts when that story is shared. This is The Glue in the Gloom. Shout out to our sponsors, Avior Wealth Management, Liberty Core Real Estate, Major Team Mortgage, Exclusively Eye Care, Omaha Laser Dentistry, and McNamara Law Firm. We appreciate your support. Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. In a special offer for F3 Nation PACs members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate. Now, let's get back to The Gloom. And we're back. We're at the Nomad, Old Town Elkhorn. It was a little chilly in here, so we turned up
52
the heat.
Chilly.
Yeah, well, it was for me. I don't know. I'm getting soft. Yeah. But man, I'm so excited to just have this conversation. You know, I'll never forget. And obviously, guys that are watching, you can tell I got Chicken Hawk with me. But I remember a while back, I get this text message from Chicken Hawk, and he just says, "Hey, I listened to your Gloom episode, and we need to have lunch." And just sort of, it was really just checking in on me to make sure that I knew where I stood with Christ and with the Lord. And, that just meant a lot, you know. I think, was really a special lunch to just, you know, I think we go through all these things in life and we're trying to do the right thing and trying to walk in step with God. But, he certainly uses other people to just sort of affirm or reaffirm things. So just have always appreciated you and love your leadership, love how you pour into other guys, and excited to get your story.
Thank you.
You know, where we like to start is that EH journey, sort of your, you know, intersection with F3, sort of who invited you out? What was that first workout like?
Yeah.
And then, would love to hear how the name Chicken Hawk came about.
Okay. Well, I'm not 100% sure the story is accurate, but I tell everyone Ryan Husk, Specimen.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he invited me to come to the very first F3 workout.
You could have been a Redwood.
I could have been a Redwood.
Okay.
And I avoided him for about 5 years. And he would ask every so often, about once a year. And Ryan's somebody that I've known. One point, I'd hired his wife to work at Gallup.
Yeah.
Got to know Ryan through, and then they started coming to Relevant, where I go to church. And, just had developed a relationship, did some men's stuff with him over the years. And, so he's always been a special guy in my life. Yeah. And, I guess he helps me feel young because he is young.
Yeah.
So I had seen, I think on Twitter, yeah, you know, like some workout that he'd done, and I think I liked it or something. And wouldn't you know, like the next day I had a note and it's like, "Hey, I see you're checking out the videos. Are you ready to go?" And I, after years of avoiding him, you know, I saw these guys having fun, and, I said, you know, yeah, I'll go. And of course, you know, I was like, "I can't go this week, but I'll definitely go next week." And so, yeah, April 1st of 2023, at the 6 a.m. Oracle. I showed up on a old, not totally snowy, but a little bit wet, mm-hmm. cold morning. Almost Famous was leading.
Okay.
And, so it was a great, I mean, it was I enjoyed it. It was hard. Yeah. I was not in good shape. But I knew it was good for me. You know, I'm the type of person that, I have a hard time sticking to things, mm-hmm. but I definitely gravitate towards, things that are relational.
Yeah.
And so for me, the relational, I'm more likely to show up out of relationship than I am out of the, hey, I got to take care of my health.
Yeah.
Yep. And, so, I mean, I'd gone through some things prior to that, and I've always sort of gone in and out of working out. I've always probably been about 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
You know, but about 2 years before that, my wife was married before.
Okay.
And, I was able to, and she had a daughter, Maddie, and I was able to develop a really great relationship with Maddie's dad.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, he and I were great buddies, you know, going to the volleyball tournaments together and,
yeah.
you know, kind of we'd go to meals in between. And, he was just an avid sports guy. But I tell you that story because, that about 2 years before I came to F3, he had not taken good care of his health.
Mm.
And, unfortunately, he in his sleep passed away.
Oh, wow.
And, I was the one that actually went and found him. And, you know, he was just, you know, so there was some trauma there, obviously, but, that wasn't what led me to F3. You know, but that was also a part of like seeing like, we need to take care of ourselves. Right. Yeah. You know, I think as I've gotten older, I've come to recognize like I am relational. And yeah. so if you tell me, hey, you want to go work out tomorrow? Like once I said yes to Specimen, then it was like, okay, now I'm in. So that was my first workout. That was a little backdrop to, I knew I needed to start to really take my health serious. And so, Chicken Hawk. So I don't remember the chaos of all the shouting things that were happening. I shared all the regular stuff. And then I think someone said, what's one thing you've done that no one else has?
Oh, okay.
I just remember, I think it was Wait Time even said that. And I just remember hearing that. And, the first thing that came to my mind was I've been a mascot before.
Oh, okay.
And so they said, tell me more.
Yeah, tell me more. Yeah.
And I said, well, I lived in Berlin, Germany.
Okay.
And the NFL Europe used to have a spring league there and they had the Berlin Thunder. And so I had met the dance coach there through like an Americans in Berlin dining club or something. I don't remember. She said, hey, would you be willing to wear the mascot? You know, we're having trouble finding someone to wear this mascot.
Yeah.
So without even knowing what it was, I think I asked, but, I show up, I said, yes. So I show up and I mean, I put on this full Thunderbird, but it literally looked like an oversized stuffed chicken.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I told people it looked like an oversized stuffed chicken. And the next thing I know,
Chicken Hawk. Wow. That is so cool.
And at the time I was like, isn't Chicken Hawk a Looney Tunes character or something?
I think it is, right?
And yeah, I mean, I went on to Google it and, you know, Chicken Hawk used to run around with Foghorn Leghorn and only appeared in 9 episodes. And one of the episodes, there's actually a Chicken Hawk song. So I have my own theme song.
If you want to YouTube it,
you know, there's a Chicken Hawk song.
We'll add that to the end of the episode.
There you go.
Oh,
there you go.
Awesome.
So that's the story.
That is so cool. That's a good question. We should probably ask more guys that when we're naming them, right? It's like, how did you meet your wife or what's something you've done that nobody else has done?
Yeah.
So talk me through just a little bit of your background. So are you from Omaha? Sort of where'd you grow up? And then, how'd you go from Germany to here? And
okay, great. Yeah. I grew up in Lincoln.
Okay.
Went to Lincoln Southeast. From Southeast, I went to Nashville, went to Vanderbilt.
Okay.
After that, I spent about 6 months in Atlanta, had a really bad kind of manager experience.
Okay.
bad leadership experience in commercial real estate, to which I moved back to Nebraska to start a home building business with my dad. He'd kind of just started it and he needed some help with finance, and my degree is in economics and finance. So came back and worked with him for about 2 years. And after learning to frame and lay tile and all these things just to get some extra money, because we were starting this business, I was like, I don't really love this. Yeah. I want to scale differently than he does. He's a phenomenal builder, but a great perfectionist. Only wanted to build a few houses at a time. And I was like, I'm not sure how we're going to afford dinner for both of us at this pace. So, I really wanted to get back into some sort of way to lead leadership. And, I'd ran into one of my, young life is kind of like campus life, or Youth for Christ is big in Lincoln. And I'd ran into my young life leader, at a wedding, and I was just telling them I was kind of in maybe a transition period, and they were like, you ought to look into coming to Gallup. We've got great opportunities to lead.
Okay.
So a little over 25 years ago, I applied at Gallup. The next thing I knew, I had an opportunity to do some training, to train at Gallup. And, I've been there ever since. So, my third year there, they needed somebody, they just sold a big contract, and, they needed somebody to go to Germany because that somebody was going on maternity leave. And in Germany, you take a year off as a mother.
Wow.
You get to take a year off. So they needed somebody to cover the year. So I went to Berlin for a year.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up in Berlin for a year. And then I came back to Lincoln for about a year, and then moved to Omaha in end of 2005.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
I love it. That's super cool. It is interesting, like just hearing sort of where people bounce around. And So Vanderbilt was, what was the draw there? Is that a family school or?
No, I lived about 5 miles from the University of Lincoln campus. Yeah. So I really didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was leaving 1994 is when I went to college. Had I stayed there, I would have had some serious good college football moments, but instead I opted for a team that barely won. In the early 90s. Great this year, right?
Yeah,
last few weeks have been awesome fun with Vanderbilt football. But I applied at a bunch of schools, and then as I got in, I went and looked at them. My stepfather had gone to Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And so it was the last school I actually looked at. I mean, I love my stepfather, but I also kind of wanted my own experience and whatnot. So I was going to go to WashU in St. Louis probably.
Okay.
And then I took one last trip to Nashville. It was a spring day. You know, people were in shorts, beautiful Southern gals, great energy on the campus. And it took me about 30 minutes. And I knew that I was like, this is where I need to go. And so, I had an awesome experience there for 4 years. And nothing related to sports, because we were never good at any sports. A little bit of basketball.
It's a really good school, though, right? I mean,
it was hard. It was a lot harder than it was. Yeah. A lot harder than Lincoln Southeast.
Yeah, I know. In the medical community, we're always
trying
to, what's Vanderbilt doing? So, I love it. And family growing up. Sounds like, do you have siblings or what was that like?
Yeah. So, I have a little sister. She's 3 years younger than I am. My parents got divorced when I was four. My mom got remarried about the time I was six.
Okay.
My bonus dad from that marriage they're still married today. He's been a huge influence in my life. He was previously married as well.
Okay.
Had two older daughters. So I have two stepsisters from that remarriage.
Hmm.
My dad then got remarried a few years later. So my bonus mom, they still live in Lincoln. She also had two older daughters. So, so I ended up with four older stepsisters and my little sister. So I'm surrounded by female.
Yeah. But I love the term bonus mom and dad, bonus. Yeah. They're siblings.
not all of them are bonus.
They're not all bonus. Okay.
Yeah, there's some people that have, you know, what you would call a step parent. I got good ones. So they get to be bonus.
Yeah. Well, I was listening to something the other day that was saying, every family's got that one person, that's just a little bit off. And if you're struggling to figure out who that is, then it might be you.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I love it. And thanks for sharing the background. Just, I think it's so helpful just as we unpack your story. Yep. But, you know, we think about fitness fellowship and faith, right? And that fitness piece. Talk me through, because I think you're definitely not alone in sort of like, okay, it's not always easy to prioritize your physical health, or, you know, just life comes up. And it sounds like you maybe had sort of this moment where you're like, okay, I need to start investing in that. But from a different sort of angle, right? Like, I want to take care of myself, but I know, like, just the discipline of lifting weights or running is not going to get me there, but it's this relational piece. So how has your fitness journey been going?
Yeah, I mean, over the years, most of my fitness journey was all based on, you know, my own probably lack of discipline. Mm-hmm. I tend to be a little bit, you know, either all in or all out. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, there were times where I was really good at it. And I'd get to the gym a lot, you know, and then there were probably more times than not where, you know, I worked out really hard for 2 months and lose 15 pounds. And then I'd spend the next 10 months sort of gaining that 15 pounds back. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my early 40s, like I was, you know, first time I was like, oh, you probably need some cholesterol medicine. And, you know, you start to, you know, so the things start to stack to say you need to take better care of your health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you lose some friends or whatnot, or you see other friends that aren't really in poor health.
Yeah.
So I don't think I really understood, like, well, one, I didn't know that a community of guys would get together and work out like that, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was all, you know, guys meeting at the gyms and those kind of things. So, and I'm not really a great gym guy, right?
Yeah.
That was something that really attracted me. And just knowing that most of my life, the things I enjoy the most are with others.
Yeah.
So combining that, I mean, even when I think about my own spiritual growth, which we'll probably talk about later, I mean, most of that has come through other men and being in community with other men to learn from other men. And so, you know, fitness is no different for me. And having the self-awareness to know that I'm going to show up in relation to another, I'm not going to show up for myself, which some guys just, they have the discipline and the desire to go up because they think I'm going to be a better father, better. And that works for them. But for me, that's not the recipe.
Yeah. It's interesting. Cause I think at least, you know, for me, and I think for other guys, there's sort of this, like the fitness draw is fairly self-centered, right? At first, it's sort of like, well, I'm going to show up because I'm going to get bigger muscles or be faster or have a six pack. And then I realized the need for the fellowship. So it's kind of interesting. You're like you've figured out.
Yeah, I mean, once I experienced that first Saturday, then I said, okay, well, I'll come back the next Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I came back the next Saturday. And then the next Saturday, and I was really that barrier, that 5:30. I was a night owl prior to F3. Okay. I was like, that's when I got my best work done. Put the kids to bed, 9 to 11, you know, let's crush some work.
Yeah.
The world was quiet then.
Yeah.
You know, I struggle with my wife always claims that I like squirrels. Like, oh, there's, you know, like I have a hard time paying attention.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when the world's quiet, my mind gets quiet, I can get a lot of things done.
Yeah.
So, but that 5:30 was a real barrier for me, which is why a 6 o'clock or a 7 o'clock I can make that work.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but, so it took me about a month or two. And I then, learned that the maze was pretty close. So then all of a sudden I started showing up at the maze on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, well, maybe I can do 2 days a week, and then 2 days a week. By the over the course of the next, you know, really for me, my acceleration was a little slow. I
mean,
it took me about 4 months before I was like a 3 day a week kind of person.
Yep.
Or even more. So I had to really change my lifestyle and habits to make it work.
What do you think was the, like, was there just enough relational pull from the group that you were like, okay, it's worth it to go to bed earlier so I can experience that? Or what was the driver there?
Yeah, I mean, it was the relationships that started it. And then I was also, I also always felt good after I got done, right? Yeah. Felt like I was getting something accomplished. I just knew it was good. It was good, right? It was like the nice, it was a great answer. It solved multiple things I really wanted to get done every day.
Yeah.
You know, previously I always wanted to work out or wanted to prioritize it. All of a sudden it was 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock and I was like, I still got work. And, you know, like that's just that the routine of my life was just sort of off.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'd operated out of that for 20 years. So it was hard to make a shift.
That's cool. What, when you think about, you know, sort of that shift and sort of your physical fitness today, where do you think you're at? Like what, and have you made progress? Do you still have some goals you're trying to hit, or where are you at on that?
Yeah. So I turned 50 this summer and, my goal was ultimately to get into some of the best shape of my life. And, I do blood, you know, blood draws and do in-body tests and different things every year. Yeah. And when I first started my first physical, I was looking back, my first physical as part of F3, I believe my body fat percentage or whatnot was like 24.7.
Mm.
My blood work didn't look super. And so that was about a little over two years from when I started F3. At my 50th birthday, when I went and did it, I was down to, I think 13.8.
Wow.
And so, so I've made some real progress. I'm definitely about 20 pounds lighter than I was. So that 20 pounds that I always swing back and forth, I've been able to keep it pretty low. It maybe goes up and down 5 pounds from where it's at, today, but yeah, I've just continued to gradually accelerate there. Yeah, I feel a lot better.
Do you feel like, as you think about your F3 journey, have you been hitting like all the different, you know, because we've got Murph sites and we do a lot of running, and then you could ruck and do, you know, coupon sites and now weight sites, right? I mean, have you sort of mixed in all the things, or where have you found like your sweet spot with the week to week workouts?
Yeah, I would say I've done all of them, and I actually enjoy all of them. I love variety. Yeah. So, I probably don't love the running sites as much.
Yeah.
I've just never loved running.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've done some of those, you know, go to the Catalyst and Rock and, you know, I mean, I led the Labyrinth about a month ago where we did a, you know, 2.3-mile string of pearls, and that about killed me.
Yeah.
But it was good for me, right? It stretched me. So that's good. As I've turned 50, I've been very intentional about trying to get down to like Top Guns where there's weights every Monday.
Yeah.
Not there every week, but I really enjoy that group of guys. And it's a little bit out of the, it's on my way to work, but pumping some iron is really good for your bone density. And, you know, as I get older, I just know that's important as well. So, been doing more of that, but I mean, I love a good beat down.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard. I mean, I love a coupon workout too. I just, it's nice to have the variety.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And it's always the variety, and then always sort of like the, you know, like having somebody else come up with the workout, right? I think is sort of like, I don't know. It's like there's a little bit of chaos there, right? Cause you're like, I have no idea what this could be, but it's also really great because you don't have a chance to fight with yourself on whether or not you're going to do it, right? You're like, I've showed up, so I've committed to do whatever say, which is awesome. What, you know, as you think about, you know, so we've got fitness and then the on the fellowship side of things, coming into the group already being, you know, maybe more into the relational aspect of life, which I think for me maybe has some spiritual components too, but but how did you, so you knew Specimen, but he wasn't out there every day. I think he's, you know, kind of been back and forth with his workout schedule. But how did you go about making relationships, or were there a lot of guys you already knew?
Well, it was amazing how many people I would like run into that all of a sudden I was like, oh, you're F3. Like, why didn't you EH me, right?
yeah.
Which I think is encouragement that like, you know, for all of us, just to, yeah. There's guys around us that we should invite that, that haven't shown up. And, but I think, you know, I just started seeing kind of the, you know, you start going to some regular places like the Maze and the Oracle, you start to see some of the same guys, and then they're like, hey, I'm going here Tuesday or I'm going here Monday. And, you know, you start to go different places. And I'm pretty adventurous, right? So I like to go, you know, I mean, I've gone through seasons of going to lots of different places. And, you know, yesterday I was at Beverly Hills. You know, I knew that Polaroid was going to give the famous Halloween haunted Hanscom Park beat down and hear all about the scary stories of Hanscom Park's last 130 years. Yeah. So I went to that.
That's too spooky for me.
I understand. Yeah. You probably wouldn't make it. This morning would have been wild there with all the fog, but it was great yesterday. I think I just met so many good guys. I mean, there are so many high quality hymns that you find them everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I enjoy, you know, one of my top Gallup strengths is woo. And so I like to, you know, win others over, but I really like connecting and I like to build connections and networks. And so I like to kind of go different places all over. Mm-hmm. And I'm just always amazed at how good guys there are no matter where you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget kind of early on. I don't know if you've ever met Nodos. He's one of the Redwoods, but early on we were at doing a Q source or something, but he just mentioned, like, you know, I used to go to the grocery store and I would see another guy and I would sort of start to judge and be like, he's, you know, probably this or probably that. But then after F3, you realize, like, well, wait a minute, there's actually a lot of good guys out there. And so then you start going to the grocery store and you sort of change your mindset to be like, I bet that guy would love F3 and that guy would love F3, you know? And so it is just, there's so many great guys, mm-hmm. you know, and the irony to me is, like, they've been there all along, right? It's just, I didn't have a vehicle to get to know them on the level where we could see how much we have in common.
100%.
What, you know, you've done a lot of work, or at least I think you have, sort of with men sort of developing relationships and sort of in this space. Like, what do you see in terms of, like, men building those relationships? Like, what are some of the key things that maybe we are doing, or maybe that we should be doing, just to sort of help guys connect on a level that helps us kind of be successful?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it, let me go backwards to go forwards, but I went through quite an identity crisis about 17, 18 years ago, where I'd become very, through my own sin, shame, and guilt of the patterns of my life, and not really being able to forgive myself for some of the decisions I'd made, I'd gotten really kind of isolated, which obviously wasn't me.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I was stuck, and I didn't know kind of how to get out. And through a series of kind of, I'll call them divine interventions, where I took some steps in, you know, getting into some groups. One of the groups was a group called Fresh Start. It really helped me kind of process the issues of my heart. And through that, you know, it kind of reinvigorated, took me from hiding in darkness to light, and realizing that, you know, I'm not alone, right? Yeah. And a lot of guys have things they're hiding, and there's so much freedom in the light, right? Yeah. So it really sparked and reinvigorated my own heart to reengage with men to help them find freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, so I really think kind of part of my mission is to really, you know, love and serve others so that they can find hope and freedom in their own lives. So I've looked for ways to do that. So, you know, so I've been involved with Fresh Start teaching groups for, you know, really since I had my own, you know, freedom and forgiveness. You know, so I've been involved with groups like that, and watched a lot of guys then have their own freedom.
Yeah.
And that's been encouraging. It also has been bonding. I've done a lot over the years with, like, Wild at Heart, and gone to boot camps in Colorado, There's actually a great Wild at Heart ecosystem kind of in the Omaha area. And in fact, on Tuesday nights, I get together a lot of times with those guys. That are all men that are trying to live out of their hearts. And, few of them are F3 guys and few of them aren't, trying to get the ones that aren't to get them in. Yeah. Cause there's a lot of commonalities in the,
we're doing we're doing a Tuesday morning pre-book study out in the Northwest and we're reading through Wild at Heart.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. It's been awesome.
I went to college. This is crazy, but at Vanderbilt, on my freshman hall, who then became one of my fraternity brothers, is a guy by the name of Morgan Snyder. And Morgan was like John's right hand person for the last 25 years in Wild at Heart events.
Yeah.
He actually went from Vanderbilt to Colorado Springs, where he was kind of fathered by through a class at Focus on the Family.
Wow.
Kind of fathered by John Eldridge. So
does he have a book that's out? What's his book called?
So Becoming a King.
Yes. Okay. It's in my Kindle library to read.
Yeah. I mean, you want to meet him sometime or whatever. I mean, Morgan and I still talk quite a bit.
Yeah.
So awesome. He's actually just left and starting his own ministry.
Okay.
Which he'll launch in the spring.
That is awesome.
Very cool. So I've always loved, like, I think out of my experience of kind of going into this isolation space, kind of learning freedom, chasing after other guys' hearts, being kind of around them. I mean, it's kind of my mess has become my message, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's something I have to offer. All men want a purpose.
Yeah.
Part of like the purpose I man is hope. Team.
Yeah.
Most of that hope is faith, which is Jesus. But I just try to share.
I love it. And I think like when you're thinking about like fellowship, right? If we're coming into this group and we have things that we're hiding or we're not, you know, willing to sort of deal with ourselves, is that a barrier to how I build relationships with other people then?
Yeah, I think if you're not free to be who God's created you to be or free to be yourself, right? Yeah. It's like if I've got to hide or be something, pose or be something I'm not, you know, we talk about abuse with the jester.
And, yeah.
Wild at Heart, they talk about poser. Very similar concept. It's I'm acting out of who I'm not. So I do think that creates a barrier, right?
Yeah.
I think the more that you are who you are and you work with that, certainly guys grow and change and develop, but being true to self and the best of who you are and the worst of who you are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's by sharing the worst of who you are that helps you get to a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
So that's
cool. Yeah. I know for me, the timing of F3, I was a mess. You know, I didn't know who I was, but then F3 was like this perfect way to sort of like you said, get the bad stuff out there and let sort of, you know, kind of let the group sort of help inform and guide, you know, the true me. And that's been just the most freeing thing ever, you know, and if we could give that to even one other guy, right, it would be just so meaningful.
Yeah, I sometimes try to tell people, like, I think F3, I mean, I have a lot of great things in my life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can only have so many things, but for me, F3 is really a better way to live, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it fits with my relational aspect, but it's also, you know, it's really good for my fitness. The men are incredible. They are, you know, encourage and make me a better man.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think about, like, you know, whether it's the sad clown or how I described my isolation years ago, you know, it's a better way to live in community with other men.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not all perfect, right?
Right.
We're all on a journey and we're all in a process, but we certainly are. We're better because of each other.
For sure. When you think about some of the things we do in F3, right, to build relationships, I'd be curious where you found opportunities. Like, coffee is always like the most common one, but how else have you sort of worked within the group to build stronger relationships?
Yeah, I think coffee's been great. I think if I were to say the one experience I had, and obviously we'll probably talk more about it, but you know, the F3 Impact Retreat is probably where I went the deepest, the fastest with folks.
Yeah.
You know, being away from the noise of Omaha.
Yeah.
And just having those 2 days to really, you know, kind of be vulnerable and explore some different things while still getting in some, you know, great beat downs and on a fellowship time. I mean, that's the pinnacle, and that's sort of why I'm getting more involved with it for the next number of years with Cadbury. But you know, but in the dailies, right? It's mm-hmm. it is coffee when you can.
Yeah.
And it's we've done some, you know, some guys have done like get togethers, whether it's mm-hmm. just a group of guys getting, you know, think about a great time I had with Laser Jet and Cutting Edge at the Tap House one afternoon. Yeah. And you know, just different things. You start to do some things out of life. I just had lunch with Edger, and
yeah.
You know, those are meaningful, right? And so you know, we've done some helped a few guys move over the years. You know, or even one day I randomly went to the canyon for a Saturday, and the next thing I know, Reba had me at his church, the Dundee Presbyterian,
yeah. All
in mulch around for an hour afterwards. Yeah. That was great, you know.
Yeah.
Spent some time. And anyway, but I just when I can, I try to take another step in relational development with different people. And
That's so cool. Yeah, there's the number of different opportunities are just almost endless.
You can't do them.
Yeah. What we think about like the Q source, where we talk about the Concentrica and some of the relationships there. Would love to hear like sort of relationship with your M and how many did you have and those relationships there.
So my wife and I, kind of when I was talking about that isolation, shame, guilt, you know, a lot of my story comes out of you know, when he and I were dating, I had some other girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up it ended up being a really ugly situation, right?
Yeah.
I was in this sin for years of shame and guilt that led to this really transformation in my life, right? Mm-hmm. So here I am. We broke up. I found all this freedom and through forgiveness. Shared it with her. She's you know, hurting. She's divorced. I'd just been a dirt bag to her. All these things, and I share that because that was a foundational element of, we started with this place of great forgiveness and freedom.
Yeah.
That was really where we foundationally learned that the most important thing you can trust is Jesus.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so we built our life around not necessarily. I remember, never ever forget, she said, you know, I don't know if I can trust you, but I can trust the Jesus in you.
Oh, okay.
If I can trust the Jesus in you, yeah. I'm in.
Yep.
I said, okay, let's go. So we had to get married. Married, 5-year-old, Maddie. About a year later, we had a son, Harrison.
Okay.
Who's now 15, baby Ruth, as he's known in the F3 world. And then we have a 12-year-old Hadley.
Okay.
And so right now we've got a college student, a high school student, and a middle school.
Nice. And,
that's the background of that. But I think, you know, I think, so it's different to have, and all three kids I treat, you know, same. I mean, I think sometimes guys, and I was praying about this before we even came in today, just watching it happen. You know, one of the greatest blessings I had in my life was my stepdad, you know, the bonus dad. He was like, he treated us like his daughters. Right. And so, you know, I always wanted that for my own, and it really made an impact. I mean, it really imprinted on my heart value and validation in a way that, when kids feel like they're not yours, right?
Yeah.
It can be really wounding, even if you're not intentional, trying to do that, right?
Yeah.
Just if you treat your kids different.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess from a Concentrica standpoint, obviously my wife is amazing. We've served in Fresh Start together. So we've been on mission together for a lot of years, her with women, me with men. I think there's an important part of that, that as we think about being empty nesters in the next 6 years, like having a mission that we share is something that keeps us grounded and together.
Really cool.
And I think that's really important for men. Cause I know that some men are like, now what do I do? Now what do we do? We've spent the last 18, 20 years raising kids. Now we're different right now. So, but yeah, I think, you know, my wife and I mean, I'm sure certainly have room to grow in how intentional I am with her. I certainly, go through spurts where I'm better about trying to date her, than others. And we're at a place where we're just trying to really be really intentional with our time with our kids. Cause it's, you know, our oldest will graduate from college this year. And so it's like time is ticking.
Yeah.
And so, we want to try to be as intentional as we can while we still have them. And, I don't know if you want to ask anything else about that, but that's,
I just think it's so cool. And I think, you know, I was just talking with Bounty, right? And we were talking about this interesting, you know, sort of if you go back to the creation story in Genesis, right? God created Adam and he's like, we're missing something here.
Yeah.
And then he created Eve and then he's like, okay, well, I think we've got what you need, because you've got a helper that's suitable, right? Is sort of the verbiage from scripture. And so I just can't help but think of all these stories.
It's crazy you brought that up, because when I actually proposed to my wife, I think the word is the Ezer Kenegdo.
Yes.
And, it's used in scripture. And that was part of my proposal to her. She was my lifesaver.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to be my, anyway, it's cool that you brought this up, because that was a big part of our journey together.
That's awesome.
Has been so.
Yeah. Well, and for many of us, right, it's our wife, right? That helper that God has specifically, you know, created for us. That I think is just, it's so cool to hear the stories of that.
Right.
I would be curious too, you know, as you think about, F3, I don't know if F3 has had any impact on those relationships, or would love to hear, like, is there anything that maybe, just from being around other guys and seeing how they're leading in their families, have you been able to take any of that to your family?
I hear through COTs, but just mainly through the conversations of learning what other guys are, how they're involved and you know, the ways in which they try to love on their families. I mean, there's always amazing nuggets and amazing things. I mean, I think my family would say that I have been impacted for the better through F3. And while they may not say, you know, it's this one thing that you learned that one day, just the cumulative little positive investments every day through different, you know, not just the workouts, but not just the COTs, but the texts, the get-togethers, the different things that all have a cumulative effect of just making me a better man.
Yeah.
And, I think if they were all sitting here, they would say, I've become a better man in the last 3 years. At least that's what I hope.
Yeah. The other thing, just sort of thinking through, you mentioned your son, right? Has a nickname. So Baby Ruth, right? How has that impacted your relationship there?
Yeah. I mean, so one of the things that we're really, my son's is on an amazing journey with Jesus, right? And, he's in that sophomore year of high school where, most kids his age are looking for life through, either more material things or, by fitting in.
Yeah.
And he has chosen to love others and continue to invite them into the journey that he sees for his life, which in his mind, a better way to live is following Jesus. Mm. And, he's already looking and seeing all the trouble that alcohol and drugs are happening in his 16-year-old friends around him, right?
Yeah.
He's got some wins and some losses, just like we all do, right?
Yeah.
He's got one friend that's on the phone with him, near the end, near the end of his life almost, and he's talking him out of it and getting him additional help. And on the other hand, he's got a friend that didn't follow Jesus at all in his life. And in the last year, he's started following Jesus. And, you know, last Wednesday night, I took the three of us went to the Elevation Worship Conference and our concert. And here's this one-year-old Jesus follower, my son, who's invested in him for 10 years, and myself, and we're all worshiping together. It's just incredible. So, I mean, I think, you know, my son's journey, you know, he loves F3 because he loves the people. I mean, he's got favorites that always are asking about him, checking in on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's probably only been to 8 or 10 beatdown.
Yeah.
But yet he could step into one tomorrow and feel like he was a part of the group. He's just in a season of life where, you know, he's got baseball lifting and
he's,
you
know, busy.
And,
yeah.
And he's got his own, Bible studies and things that are a priority, but he loves, you know, he loves a good F3 beatdown.
That's awesome.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax. It's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check him out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
I love hearing just all of the different ways, right, that, you know, sort of woven throughout your story, right? Like is your faith. Mm-hmm. But I would love to kind of dive in a little bit deeper, sort of what does faith mean to you? And as you think about like F3, what are some things that maybe you've done over the years to strengthen that relationship with your creator that maybe other guys could consider or look into?
Yeah. So I think for me, faith has been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I peaked and then I crashed.
Yeah.
As I tried to do life on my own terms. And as I did that and got into that cycle of shame and guilt, but ultimately came back to remembering that, you know, Christ died on the cross for my failures.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
And, once I accepted that freedom, I had my own freedom. And so, I feel like, you know, a lot of people treat faith as a, you know, where they go to church or as a certain religion. And for me, it's a relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, I learned that through my own heartache that the more relational I am with Jesus, you know, the more joy I have in life, the more clarity I have for different things, the more I feel like I'm able to see him at work.
Yeah.
And I'm more attuned to like the people around me that need, you know, different things. And so I feel like, for guys who, you know, it's just like your fitness journey or your fellowship journey, you just got to keep taking steps. I often talk about this in my COTs because it's so easy to take a fellowship or a fellowship or a fitness step. It's hard to take a faith step.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it maybe through service or some of those other things that F3 offer. But when you think about like, what does faith mean to me in terms of a relationship with a God, creator, Jesus, right? Those are harder to get into, which is another reason why I love the Impact Retreat, is because it gives you space and time to really think about those hard questions.
Yeah.
Which I think are the really most important questions. So, you know, for me, Jesus is the really the relational, you know, connection that I really have at the center of my life. Right. Everything else flows into how I love my wife, how I treat my kids.
Yeah.
And even how I go about, you know, how I spend my time outside of that part of the, so, I guess my encouragement is keep taking steps or start taking steps, right? Do something that's uncomfortable, just like you would at a beatdown.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't stepped a foot in a, put in a church, you know, a church, you know, we think of it as a building, but it's a group of people, right. Just much like F3, which is one of the things I love about F3. I mean, men in F3 aren't perfect.
Yeah.
Come to Relevant. Mm-hmm. People aren't perfect there either.
Right.
But it's a great community of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of F3 guys there as well. But I mean, there's, and it doesn't have to be Relevant, right? I mean, there's just down this 204th corridor, and yeah, you know, there's tons of great places where you can be a part of a great community that'll help you take, you know, just like showing up at a beatdown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Show up at that gathering or that service on a Sunday. It'll help you take a natural next step.
Yeah.
And so I just really encourage guys that if you're not in a faith community also, you know, find a way as maybe a next step to step out of your comfort zone and do that. Or maybe come to the F3, the Impact Retreat. Maybe that's your next step.
I
mean, this is the ideal time to sign up.
Yeah, I think too, like one of the things that, like you said, right, like the fitness, like accelerating your fitness, right, is like, it's so easy and maybe even like process or program, right? Like you could get on I want to lose some weight, right? So I may run a little bit and then I'm going to change my diet. And faith is quite a bit different, but there are still these next steps, right? Like you mentioned, it's a journey, but it's also like you can still accelerate that part of it too. And I do see, you know, unfortunately, I think it makes some guys uncomfortable. And so then we may see some guys drop off when they get to that, like, well, I've accelerated my fitness and my fellowship.
Right.
And now I don't know. I don't want to do that other piece, but talk me through, and I don't know if you'd be willing to share, but you've mentioned a couple of times sort of this guilt and shame, but would you be willing to share sort of your, I don't know, maybe root cause there in that space, or what's sort of been the struggle for you? Is it sort of acceptance, or, and you don't have to, I just like to pry.
Yeah, that's good that you're good at that. Good at that. I think this is important. You know, I think vulnerability is important. I think this is where you learn about yourself and maybe have more to offer others as well. But, you know, as I went through my 20s and, I guess even just really growing up, you know, coming out of a family that, where my dad was an alcoholic, which was part of the reason my mom and him split.
Mm-hmm.
He actually stopped drinking when I was one. So I never knew him as an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And, but my mom, when you live with an alcoholic, a lot of times, or an addict, you know, you're looking to control all the things you can. Right. Yep. So without bad intentions, I grew up sort of being controlled.
Mm.
And so as I got out of the house, and one, I was not controlled.
Mm. Yeah.
So I wanted to be my own person. Two, I was really good at controlling others because I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get into that, there's a lot of power with control.
Yeah.
And you start to, you know, you start to navigate your life, like in a way that, not everybody makes bad decisions out of it, but I did.
Yeah.
And so my story was through that power, control, manipulation of others. You don't build deep, authentic relationships when you're manipulating it.
Right.
And, so I just through that, you know, and then I had a few really bad relationships where, you know, a few bad relationships with women that, where I felt really betrayed.
Mm.
And in that, I really began to create some, kind of some wounds in my heart to where I almost had some vows, like I'll never let myself get to a place where I'm treated like that again.
Mm.
And so I was sabotaging all my relationships through that. And I started making really bad decisions with, kind of almost using, because I wasn't free to be loved.
Right.
I put up these barriers, and essentially I was using everybody I dated.
Yeah.
I was trying to fill a hole. Well, that doesn't make you feel great.
Yeah.
And you start to feel a lot of shame for, I'm not offering my whole self. I'm not free to be known. I'm giving to get.
Yeah.
It's just not a healthy spot. And so, as you sort of spiral, and then I found, you know, well, now I can date two girls at a time. And it's just an ugly, you know, you can just see where it just kind of keeps spiraling down, and that shame and guilt. When you have shame and guilt, the thing that gives you sort of temporary, release from that is sort of running back to that where mm-hmm. you felt powerful.
Yeah.
And, but then you go back right back to, you know, it's like this, it's this pendulum of power and guilt. And you can't have both.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have both, but they go back and forth. And, so, you know, really that's the journey I was on of living for myself, trying to figure out life on my own. And, you know, when you're in that spot, you think you're too far from Jesus for him to love you. Right. You think you're too far from, I've done these things. And that's one of the things I've learned. Like, there's nothing you can do. You're never too far from Jesus. You've never done anything to where, you know, or experience or had something done to you mm-hmm. where you're not accepted and loved by Jesus. You know, when you're living in the moment of that, you don't feel like that's true.
No.
But if you get the right people around you, that can help point you back to that truth, which, you know, just having some divine moments where the right people came around me at the right time and, loved me back to that real truth that I couldn't see anymore. All I could see was my failure. All I could see was my shame and my.
Wow. I'm so glad you shared that. And I think it's really eye-opening to me because I think like the gift that God gave you from that, not only the freedom, but I think you've also developed this gift to see other men that are maybe stuck in that spot where I know I need something better or different, but the guilt and shame is causing me to go back to the only thing I know. Right. Yep. And so like being able to see guys that are maybe in this spot where like, hey, we got to process that. And I think you do some, I don't know if you do one-on-one stuff or stuff through Relevant, right? Am I remembering correctly that you do some things ministry wise to kind of help guys through that. Is that accurate?
That is true. So yeah. So part of my Fresh Start experience, you know, that helped me process the issues of hurt, loss, and offense. As I went through that and had my own freedom, I was like, hey, can I help? Can I be a part of helping others with this?
Yeah.
So for about, you know, last 16, 17 years, I've been involved with helping men in small groups since occasionally one-on-one, but, oftentimes it's usually like a 2-on-1 or a 2 leaders and 3 men.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's some collective wisdom that you can learn from others when you do it in small groups.
Sure.
So I've done that for 15, 16 years and currently we do it through Relevant. We offer groups throughout the year, or sometimes people call in and be like, hey, Fresh Start something. And they go, you know, they're quick to call me and say,
deploy the team.
Yeah. The team. Jamie, are you available? Yeah. You know, and I love to be available because there's nothing more honoring and some ways beautiful in, this will sound weird, but to sit in the grossness of somebody's story.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it's like I have my own, we all have it. Right.
Yeah.
But guys, when they're there, they just feel like they're so far away and they're desperate. Hmm. And, it's so honoring to sit and hear that story. To hear their pain that maybe they've never shared before. You know, I've had guys share, you know, guilt that they've been carrying with them, you know, when they, you know, they inappropriately touched a neighbor when they were a kid and they've lived with that guilt, their whole life, and it's shaped their life and their life's a mess, and, you know, or a divorce, or, I mean, it can be really anything. And it's honoring to sit with them in that, that they would open up, right? But there's also, you know, great hope in all those situations.
Hmm.
Jesus is the hope of the world.
Yeah.
And you know, great leaders are his agent of change. So I feel like that's one of the things that's beautiful about F3. There's great leaders so anyway, that's
I love it. No, it's so cool. I you know, speaking of leadership, right? So our mission is to invigorate male community leadership. And we do that right through some of these opportunities, like getting to be a site queue and, you know, would love to just hear like, what's been your experience leading in F3 and maybe how have you applied that to other areas of life?
Yeah. So I'll start with F3. So even being a site queue, I didn't want to be a site queue by myself.
Yeah.
So as many of you know, party actually approached me, and I'd been thinking about it, knowing it was something that I had a desire for.
Yeah.
But when he came to me and said, "Hey, would you co-cue with me?" I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah.
Because I'm relational. Yeah. I don't want to do anything. You know, I believe this lie when I was a kid. Well, my biggest role model was the Lone Ranger.
Mm.
There's some depth to like that, in the sense that I spent most of my life trying to be.
Interesting.
And that's not what God created me for, creation and relationship with others.
Yeah.
So when I had this opportunity, knowing myself, like the idea of being a co-psyche was way better.
Yeah.
For me, because I want to do things in relation, like I've got enough individual tasks I have to get done at work, sure, and other things. Yeah. Right. Or as a dad or as a husband. Right. So any extra time I have to do with others. So the opportunity to be a psyche, co-psyche was like, that was the green light for, yeah, me. Same way with this impact retreat. Right. Opportunity to work with Cadbury. I mean, I respect his faith journey a ton, and you know, Grills and Sister Act loved the opportunity to go to the Impact Retreat last year. They asked me if I would lead it before I'd ever been.
Oh yeah.
Which was super honoring. And I told them, guys, I don't even know what this is.
Yeah.
But sure. Like, yeah, because part of like, I will make time for things. If I think it will help others walk closer to Jesus, I'll make time for it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, my wife and I both do that. In fact, like part of my giving strategy with like my generosity, I really only give to things that are faith oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there aren't other great organizations or aren't other great needs.
Yeah.
But like, I spend my time and talent and ties towards, you know, like relevant F3, the Hope Center for Kids. I'm on the board of the Hope Center for Kids in North Omaha. And so all of the things that, you know, in Youth for Christ, everything that we kind of, where we spend our time and,
yeah,
and or give our talent is all around, you know, Jesus, because Jesus is the hope of the world.
It's a great example of just, you know, you mentioned church, right, as a term people haven't often associated with a building, but also, right, like I think of like worship, right? Yeah. And just like worship is not just standing up and raising your hands to sing music, right? Our whole lives should be, you know, in worship to, right, God. And so, right, I can clearly see that.
Yeah.
As you share.
I heard last week Stephen Furtick at the Elevation said we don't raise our hands because we're perfect.
Right.
We raise our hands because we know the one that is.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, boom, let's go.
Yeah. You know. He's got some great stuff, man. I over the years, Tonight Show would always share some of his sermons, and just, yeah, you know, he's been a cool guy to follow. You know, when you think about, because you do a lot of leadership stuff, yep, right, clearly throughout the community at work and your time as a psyche, any advice or lessons learned that you would share with guys that maybe are taking over the flag or just getting ready for a leadership role, or even for me getting ready, you know, kind, yeah, of a new leadership transition, any advice or things you'd share?
I mean, so much of it's about, you know, being yourself, right?
Yeah.
You don't need to do anything the way that the last person did it.
Yeah.
You know, being the best version of yourself will be, one of the biggest lies that guys think is, I'm not enough,
mm-hmm,
or what I'm going to do is not enough. That's, yeah, one of the enemy's greatest lies.
Yeah.
And especially in a world where we're supposed to be doers and get things done and be a certain way and all these, yeah, things, it's like, no, be yourself, right? Be the best version of yourself. Keep taking steps to be a little better. And whatever that looks like, will benefit you the most. It'll create the least amount of stress for you. It'll, mm-hmm, make you be the free version of yourself that others really should experience. So, I think stepping into the site leadership or any other kind of leadership, it's an important, again, life's a journey.
Yeah.
It's an important step in your journey, because you'll learn new things about yourself, some good, some bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to keep taking steps. So, and leading a site is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's something it's easy to say everyone should do, but everyone should do it either by themselves or with another.
Yeah.
And, you get to have your own community, right? Mm. For a year, and some guys come and go, right? I mean, come and go from one site to another week to week, but you get kind of a core of people and you get to really know some people a lot better by, you know, that you're their consistent rock every week.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, without it, you wouldn't build those relationships.
Yeah. Your advice is so solid too, of just like, be yourself, lead the way you lead, the way you were created. I think it is super tempting to sort of find, you know, like a leadership book or look at another leader, or even now like AI, right? Like to sort of abdicate how you lead to something else, somebody else, right? Sure, there are frameworks and all these things, but I think as I've been thinking about that myself, you know, it's sort of like I'm not even necessarily in this role because of me, right? And mm-hmm. and so then like there's like a higher power that's coordinating all of this, and yeah. So then like I, you know, should feel the freedom, but it is tempting to sort of say, yeah. Well, wait a minute, I don't really know, so I should go find all these little things, and then, you know, to me, in my experience, that is less authentic, and then it really creates sort of some confusion down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for you to hear, like, you know, I've heard you on multiple podcasts, you know, you talk about like, you always feel like there's a checklist or something I need to do better, yeah. Or something I need to go learn. And, you know, as men, we feel like that. We feel like we're not quite good enough, or there's something, if we just work a little harder, or we read another book, or we get that more maximized checklist, you yeah. know, it's like that robs you out of the joy. Right.
Yeah.
And you need to know, like you are so important to men and F3 and your family and I'm not just saying that, like, that's the truest part of you. Right. And you've meant a lot to a lot of people, and, just all this time you give to podcasts and
yeah.
beatdowns and, like that stuff matters, and you don't need another checklist or a book to do it better.
Yeah.
You just need to keep being yourself.
I knew you were going to find a way to turn this about me. No, this is your, this is your episode. Well, this has been awesome. And I know there's a lot of, additional pieces to your story, but just would encourage guys, you know, I know like having lunch with you was great. And every time we, you know, interact, I just love the conversation. It's your heart and passion for men. And, you know, I think, with all the different things, right? Like guys should definitely check out the Impact Retreat if they're maybe not ready there, like, you know, just maybe get in touch with Chicken yeah. Hawk and talk through where you're at. You know, I think where we'd like to, kind of land or wrap up is just thinking about current state, life, whatever's going on in your world. Where do you need prayers, encouragement, support when we see you out there? What's that thing we should be checking up with you on?
Yeah, I'm in a really healthy respect spot, right? Okay. I was probably one of the reasons I wanted to be respect so bad. You know, I went to a respect pop-up when I was 48. I didn't know there were rules about you couldn't do that if you, you know, whatever.
They didn't let you stay.
So they I kind of was told I was could be an intern, but then I was like, but I admire the heck out of those guys, yeah. right? And yeah. so it's like the opportunity to be like them.
Yeah.
Like I know that they're like, I wish I was, you know, whatever, yeah. but it's like yeah. I respect a lot of those guys. I mean, there was a day where Ozark, it was a day where I almost like walked out of a workout.
Mm.
I was fighting an injury and feeling out of shape. My knee or my ankle was bothering me, and we were at Oracle, and he just kind of encouraged me that day and ran with me. And so it's like guys like Ozark, that, yeah. you know, like they're part of that respect group. Right.
Yeah.
So I just think, I forgot even how we got there. How do we get to this?
Oh, just where do you need prayers?
Oh, yeah. Where do I need?
Yeah.
I just think, so I'm in a really good spot. You know, I think just trying to figure out, you know, kind of starting to pray through, you know, maybe getting into Shield Lock.
Oh, yeah.
I've not done, that's been yeah. something that I haven't prioritized. Certainly excited about this upcoming retreat, but it's the first one, so we'll be praying about that.
Yeah.
But then we'll be leading it for a few more years, and that'll be a great area, you know, to pray into, just that guys have great experiences, not for me, but for them, right? That it's what it needs to be for them, and the yeah. right guys come. So those are a couple areas. You know, obviously still raising kids, you know, can't put enough prayer into how you raise kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess I just encourage guys to reach out, and, you know, if there's ever a chance for know, you have something you need, or something I said today is like, hey, I need to learn more about that, or yeah, I got something I need to get out of my, I'm kind of stuck in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I love to help men when they, I'm just encourage guys to.
I love it. Well, let's do a little name-a-rama here to wrap us up. I'll start. Brandon Fleaherty, 39, The Plague.
Jamie Hunt, 50, Chicken Hawk.
And it's like a, and then there a respect go. Now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do it all. I love it, man. You know, this, I just have to say thank you again, just for your story and your passion. And I just, you know, something you do so well, and Wait Time does this really well too, but just, I think hearing from another man that you respect, that you're doing a good job or you're adding value, you know, I think those are the types of things that, yeah, I would love to see more of us do, because I think there's just so much, it just reassures you, right? It sort of keeps you from that comparison trap or whatever the thing is that makes you feel like you're not enough, because you know, hey, the people that know me well and, you know, people I respect are seeing it, you know? So I really appreciate
it. Yeah. I see you, brother.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
All right.
Chest, we're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Every man's got a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop yell. Every man's got a story inside, standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, every man's got a story. We've been broken, we've been bruised, but we rise again and we don't get to choose. Through the fire, through the fight, every man's story burns in the night. Scars on our hands, hope in our chest. We're not defined by the weight of the test. Brothers in step, we carry the flame. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Taught a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop yell. Every man's got a story inside. Different roads, but the heartbeat's the same. Every man's got a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop hill. Every man's got a story inside, standing strong, we won't hide. Every man, every man's got a story. Every man's got a story. Voices rise like thunder, they roll. Truth in the pain, it's shaping the soul. Chains may rattle, but they break in time. Every man's story is yours and mine. From the struggle to the glory, every man's got a story. In the dark or in the light, we keep marching through the night. Every man's got a story inside. Every man's got a story to tell, from the valley low to the mountaintop, yeah. Every man to the mountaintop, yeah.